Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
How many of you like new things? Raise your hand. All right. I love new things. You know, I love a new phone. I love a new computer, a new gadget. You know, we all love new things. As long as it's not a new wife or a new husband, that's fine. Okay? We can love new things. But let me tell you, the reason why you and I, we love new things, is because we are like our Father. We exactly like our Heavenly Father. Because guess what? God, our Heavenly Father, also like new things. I want to read you from Isaiah 43, verse 19. This is God's very word. He says, "See, I'm doing a new thing." God is in the business of doing a new thing. You know, God promised to give us a new heart. He promised to put a new spirit within us. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. You're not just a remade, the remix of your old self. You are a completely new creation. And if you think you have what it, you know, you have everything in this world, that everything is honky-dory and everything, you haven't seen nothing yet, because God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth, which is going to be so much better than whatever currently we have right now. You know why? Because God is always doing a new thing among us. The problem is, let me tell you, it's not whether or not God is doing a new thing. The problem is whether or not you perceive it. The problem is whether or not you see it. You know, God is working in your marriage right now as I speak. Do you perceive it or don't you perceive it? God is doing a new thing right now in your relationships. God is doing a new thing right now in your business. God is doing a new thing, you know, in your family. God is always doing a new thing. You don't have to ask God, like, "God, are you doing something?" The question is, do you perceive it? And unfortunately, let me tell you, for a lot of people, they don't see it. They don't see that God is always in the business of doing a new thing. And maybe you think, what's the big deal with that? So if I don't see God doing a new thing, so what's the big deal with that? Well, it's a big deal. And let me tell you why it's a big deal. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. You know, this is a good translation, a modern translation of a very famous verse from Proverbs 29, verse 18. You know, in the old King James, it says, where there is no vision, people perish. People die. So if you can't see what God is doing, you stumble all over yourself. Is it possible that some of you here this morning, your life is a mess because you failed to see what God was doing in your life? God had been telling you to leave that relationship. God had been telling you to start that new relationship. God had been telling you to leave that place or whatever it is. But your life is a mess because you failed to see God doing things in your life. There's a strong correlation between not being able to see what God is doing and stumbling all over the place. And then there's a huge contrast. There's a word "but" there. You know, in the Septuagint version, the Greek version of the Old Testament, it's a strong contrast, Allah. What that means is there are two ways to live in this world. Two ways to live. One, living in this world, not seeing what God is doing in your life. Maybe you think, my life is great. My business is doing good. My marriage is great. But, you know, you feel something is empty, you know. So it's not satisfying. Your success is not satisfying to you. You know why? Because you are created for so much more than just having a happy marriage. You've been created for so much more than just having a great business. You know, you have been created for eternity. You have been created to impact this world for eternity. That's why if some of you here say, "Oh, yeah, I have this nice car, you know, I have this great business, but how come I'm still not satisfied?" Because maybe you can't see what God wants to do in your life and through your life. That's one way to live, not being able to see what God is doing. The second way to live, there's a but there, is when you attend to what God reveals and be obedient toward it. Other translation says, when you take heed, when you obey, not just see, because how many of you know that you can see but not see at the same time? You know, sometimes I talk to my wife and, you know, I hear her, but I don't hear her. You know what I mean, husbands? Yeah. Sometimes that happens, right? So, you know, you can see what God is doing, but do you perceive it? So Proverbs says, if you attend, if you take heed, if you obey what you see, guess what? You may not be the most successful businessman. You may not be the richest, the most powerful, but of all people in this world, you will be the most blessed. And I'm telling you, I don't know about you, I'm going to choose the second way to live. Right? I want my life in this world to be meaningful. I want to see a move of God, not just in this world, but I want to see a move of God in my life. So this morning, I want to speak on this subject of how to see a move of God in your life, in our lives together, collectively as a church here as well. I know some of you, you came here for the Holy Spirit series that we started last week. You know, I want to apologize to you, but next week, we're going to resume our series on the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the gift of the Spirit. It's going to be really exciting. Come and bring some friends. But to coincide with our big reveal, we thought it's a good idea to take some time today to talk about how we can see a move of God in our life. All right, can we do that? If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. This is a really, really famous story in the life of Jesus. A very funny story at that, actually. One of the funniest ones in the Bible. You have to read your Bible with a sense of humor sometimes, you know, just feel the situation. But in this story, we will learn together how we can actually start seeing a move of God in our lives, all right? Starting from verse 1. Here's what it says. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. I don't know how they did that. Maybe, like I said, he's already paralyzed anyway. What could have been worse, right? So just lowered him down. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? Which is easier?" Let me ask you, which is easier to say? Well, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because there's no way for you to check whether that really happened or not, if you say that, right? But it's easier to say, but it's much more difficult to do. But Jesus proved that he was who he said he was by doing both, so that they believed that he was not an ordinary man, that he was sent from God, that he was God himself in the flesh. Verse 10, "But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." So he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. I mean, they knew this guy. They saw him every day on the street begging. So they were amazed. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this. We have never seen anything like this." That's exactly what I want people to say about our great God when they come to this place. I want everybody, especially people who are far from God, when they come to the Rocks Church, they say they will not praise the speaker, they will not praise our facility, but they will praise God, saying, "We've never seen, we never experienced, we never felt anything like this before." So how can you see a move of God in your life? Well, number one, you have to start with a problem. You must have a problem. All right, I have to be careful how I say it. I'm not saying like you must have a problem. You know, you have food. No, you have to start. You have to start with a problem. All right. Now, this story is a great story of a move of God, but the story didn't start with a miracle, did it? The story started with what? With a problem. We have a paralyzed man who's been paralyzed probably all his life. He couldn't get healing anywhere. He couldn't get near Jesus. So we had a problem. So could it be that your problem that you're having right now is a platform for God to do his greatest work in your life? See, if you have a problem, let me tell you, if you got problems, you are a good candidate to see a move of God in your life. In fact, your problems are prerequisite for God to work in your life. You don't need God's miracle if you don't have a problem in your life. The reason why we are even here this morning is because humanity has the biggest problem of all, which is the problem of our sin. And the greatest work of God of all time is not in healing people or teaching this great truth, but the greatest work of God of all time is when He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins and for my sins. You know, because we had this problem, the problem of sin, God did His greatest work among us in the person of Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian here this morning, that's the good news, that God saw you and your need of being restored from the broken relationship that you have with Him, your Heavenly Father, because of sin. And God said, I'm going to mend that broken relationship. I'm not going to wait until you're whole again. I'm going to make you whole through Jesus Christ. I'm going to forgive your sins because of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross. So we got problem. God had the solution for us in the person of Jesus. You know, when we started this church because we saw a problem. I remember, you know, talking around a group of men at the time and some women, about 12 of us. We were talking about, if we wanted to invite our friends to come to church, would we feel comfortable inviting our friends to come to our church? And then we all almost in unison said at the time, no, we wouldn't be comfortable inviting our unchurched friends to come to our church. I mean, our churches are great for us, you know. We understood everything, all the Christianese language, you know, the way to find passages of the Bible and all that. Our churches were great for us because we were already believers in Jesus Christ. But we all agreed, man, you know, if I were to invite my unchurched friends to come to our church, man, I wouldn't feel comfortable. I wouldn't feel comfortable at all. So that's how the Rocks got started. We wanted to be a different kind of church. We wanted to be a church that the unchurched people love to attend and encounter God. We didn't want to just be another church around the corner. There are a lot of great churches in Perth, but we believe God has called us into something unique. We believe that God has called us into something that Jesus came to this earth for. He came to seek and save the lost, and we wanted to make that front and center a high priority in the life of our church. So we started this church because of that problem, and we saw a move of God in our midst. Yeah. We started growing, and then we had a place problem, and we move around everywhere, and then finally God solved that problem. God did some His best works in us, providing us with our first building, and then we outgrew that building, and God gave us the next building until God gave us this building. And guess what? We got another problem right now. Right. Look around you. This photo was taken last week, Sunday, 3rd of March. I'm telling you, over the last 2 weeks, we have more than 800 people in attendance in our church. More than 800 people, right? We need to create a space for people who are far from God to encounter Him. And this is something that we have, and we're going to present it before God, because guess what? We cannot shy away from problem. See, your problem in your life is not really the problem itself, but how you view the problem, right? If you shy away from your problem, if you run from your problem, if you hide from your problem, God is not going to do His greatest work in your life, you see? Because on the other side of your problem is God's greatest miracle in your life. So don't just pray for God to take away every single problem you have. I mean, you can pray that, but rather pray, God, you know, what do you want to do in my life in all these challenges, in all this problem? Because guess what? Again, waiting on the other side of your problem is God's greatest work in your life. That's number one. Number two, if you want to see a move of God in your life, you have to be willing to do whatever it takes. You have to be willing to do whatever it takes. Look at this men that, you know, did everything they could to bring this paralyzed man to see Jesus. Some men came bringing to him, Jesus, a paralyzed man. Now, for the past 2,000 years, we don't know the identity of these men. We don't know their name. We don't know what they did. We don't know anything about them. They are known for the past 2,000 years as just some men. Right. I mean, if you could travel back in time and interview them and ask them, hey, do you mind? You know, for the past 2,000 years, we only know you as some men. I'm sure they will say to you, no, we don't mind at all. We don't care if people know our name, but we care that people know the name of Jesus and what He could do in their lives. You see, hear me, church, hear me well, all right? Time and time again, behind every move of God, there's always a group of men and women who humbled themselves, who made themselves available to be used by God, who said we don't care if people know us or not. We don't care about our reputation. We don't care if we have a position or not. But we just care to see the work of God being done in our life for eternity. Right. You know, behind every great move of God, there's always this group of men and women. Okay? So my challenge to you this morning is, you know, if you want to see God working in your life, okay, we gotta do something. I think we have too many super Christians in the church today. People who are good at praying, people who are good, you know, at knowing the Bible very well, but they just fold their hands and they choose to do nothing. You know, how can God do His work when you choose to do nothing? God doesn't have a plan B in this world. The church is the hope of the world. If you want to see God move, we're going to have to move. Just like these four men. Look at what they did. You know, they couldn't find a place anywhere. The place was packed. Did they give up? Did they say, oh man, it's just too hard. Let's go home. No, they got creative. They had a brainstorming session. And then one of the crazy one in the group, you always have a crazy one in the group, said, why don't we just dig a hole and then lower this man, right? So they did anything short of sin in order to bring their friend to Jesus. Guess what? You know who were there in that room together with these four men, with this paralyzed man? The religious teachers, the experts in the law, the spiritual people. What did they do? Did they even bother? You know, hey, Jesus is coming to town. I better, you know, I saw this paralyzed person every single morning begging on the street. They didn't even care about him. They knew a lot about the Bible. They knew a lot about God maybe, but they're not available to be used by God. They can't see the great work of God in their life because they're not available. Let me tell you this morning, church, your availability is so much more important than your ability. You may not be able to do much, just think, you know, like, oh, I can't sing, I can't do this, I can't do that, but that's not the issue. If you make yourself available, yeah, let me tell you, God can do His greatest work in you, yeah, and through you, all right? I mean, this picture is just a powerful picture of what the church should be, don't you think? You know, that paralyzed person started with two useless broken legs, and then he ended up with not just two legs, not four, not six, eight legs that carried him to see Jesus. I want to be that kind of church. I want to be a church where, you know, we will walk for you when you can't walk on your own. We will carry you when you can't get up on your own. We will believe for you when you can't believe on your own. We want to fulfill the mandate of God in the life of our church, you know, for the broken in our community, the marginalized in our community. They need to know Jesus, and we want to do anything short of sin. If it means we start a new gathering at 5 p.m., we do it. Because guess what? Space is not our only problem. I talk to a lot of people in our church. You know, the reason why, you know, their friends, their unchurched friends could not come Sunday morning is because a lot of them have sports. A lot of them have activities Sunday morning. Church is not even in the radar of people who are far from God. So when you want to invite them, sometimes they say no, not because they don't want to, because they can't. Because their Sunday morning is already filled with activities. So it's not just a lack of space, but, you know, the timing thing. So that's why we wanted to do anything possible. If it means starting an evening service, that's exactly what we're going to do, because we want to see a move of God in our midst. Yeah. That's number two. And finally, number three, if you want to see a move of God in your life, you have to have faith that God will do great things in your life, in the life of our church, all right? In this world, in our community. Listen to what happened in verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith. Whose faith? When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Isn't that amazing? I mean, this is one of the few instances where Jesus healed someone, not because of his faith or her own faith, but because of the faith of other people. Right. You know what that means? That means our faith is so important. That's why I said we want to be a church that believe for people when they can't believe on their own. We want to be a church that carry people when they can't walk on their own. You know, we want to be that church. Do you even realize that? That's my question to you this morning. Do you have any idea what our faith in Jesus can do for this community? This community needs Jesus. We just built one of the best malls in our city. But this community, the city of Canning, the suburb of Cannington, East Cannington, this area, you know, 98% of them, or 92% of them, don't even bother coming to church. They don't know they need God in their life. You see, they need Jesus, and even if they can't believe on their own, we, as the community of faith in this place, we want to believe on their behalf until they come to their own belief. Amen? That's exactly what we're going to do. It's so important, and you don't realize the great work that God is doing in our midst. You know, I have the privilege of leading this church and hear all the good stories of people coming to know Jesus, how their life, you know, is completely changed because of what we do here, Sunday in and Sunday out, right? I want to read a couple of testimonies to you, and I hope this will encourage you, okay? Just wanted to say the sermons this year have been overwhelmingly amazing. Each one has really impacted my life greatly and helped make real positive changes in my life. Comparison Trap really saved my life. If you had asked simply a year ago today if I thought I'd be a Christian, I would have laughed and said there was no chance. One of my friends told me she'd watched the Comparison Trap all 3 weeks, 10 times. Loved it so much that she sent it to her kids and all her friends. She said, Pastor D is a great blessing to this generation. I have to agree with that. Just kidding. The reason why I left that part in there, it's not to show off or anything, but it's important. You can scratch Pastor D's name. You can replace it with your own name. Janine is a great blessing to this generation. Sidara is a great blessing to this generation. Paula is a great blessing to this generation. You know, people that you're going to bring to encounter God, to that paralyzed man, those four men were the greatest blessings in his life. That paralyzed man didn't care about some great preacher somewhere who could preach a powerful sermon. To that paralyzed man, those four men, you know, are the greatest blessing in his life. Do you know that you are the greatest blessing for your generation? We need to embrace this. We need to have faith. We need to believe in this. So here's my challenge to you. I have three challenges to you this morning before we close. Number one, I want you to come to one of the mornings gathering that we have. Still, keep coming to the morning ones. And also, I want you to come to our new 5 p.m. gathering and bring a friend for the whole month of May. Can you do that? I want to encourage you. So that means, you know, if you don't do anything Sunday evening, I want you to come to church twice just for the month of May to create this momentum, to create this you know, critical mass of people so that this place will be alive and kicking and lively. It'll be fun, you know. We're going to do something different. In fact, for the whole month of May, we're going to invite guest speakers to come so that you will hear a different message every Sunday morning from the evening. So for the whole month of May, I want to ask you if you can do that. That will be fantastic. Come to the 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock and then come again to the 5 p.m. for the first month that we kick this off. Starting Easter, not next week, all right? Don't come at 5 p.m. next week. There will be nobody here starting Easter. That's challenge number one. Challenge number two, I want you to serve as our volunteer team member. You know, for a medium-sized church like us, people think, they don't need me. They got everybody. You know, every Sunday, talking to the leaders of the kids' ministry, people who are serving back there on the other side of the foyer, you know, every Sunday, we have a great problem. They say, oh, we got 30 kids for Little Rockers. You know, we have 40 kids for whatever. And then it's like, we only have three leaders. We only have four leaders. We need help. Chloe, Ignite, you know. They got 65 high schoolers coming to Ignite now. Last Friday, by the way, 16 teenagers gave their life to Christ last Friday at our Ignite gathering. Isn't that fantastic? 17 new people come to the young adult gathering on Wednesday. I'm telling you, God is doing a great work in our midst. He's doing a new thing. You just have to see it. You just have to perceive it. Yeah. And then number three, I want you to give to support God's vision for this church. If you call this church home and you haven't been giving consistently, maybe, you know, you haven't even thought about it. You've enjoyed the blessing. You've enjoyed coming here. You've become part of the family now. Can I encourage you to prayerfully ask God, right? God, how can I sacrifice to see the vision of this church come to pass? Because I want to see this community being transformed for you. I want to see this community, the city of Canning, be transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right? I want to leave you with one last story, and I purposely leave this story to last. Today, right now, we're going to have water baptism. You know, we have 13 people that signed up for water baptism. God is doing a great thing in our midst, let me tell you. And today, you're going to see one. And my hope, our prayer, all of our prayers is, I know we will hear more stories like this as we start our 5 p.m. gathering. Enjoy.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.